1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Dear friends in Christ, admittedly, the older I get, the more nostalgic I get, and the more nostalgic this time of year graduation leaves me. Nostalgic at watching students grow and change and transform from uncertain freshmen to confident seniors, and beyond that, collegiates and some seminarians. And nostalgic in knowing that the same students will eventually leave campus and say goodbye, and that to fulfill the role to which God has called them and the calling for which God has prepared them. But still, saying goodbye at times can be difficult. In fact, I've never really liked to say goodbye, and that's because I've said so many, and many spoken right here on this campus. I attended Emmanuel Lutheran High School, College, and Seminary from 1968 to 1978. And looking back, those were among the happiest, carefree years of life. Basketball games and tour choir, field day, class day, Arbor Day, the banquet, Louis the Lancer, Cantate Domino, and of course, the sweet smell of lilacs blooming in the spring. At this school, I made lasting friendships, some of which I still have and enjoy to this day. And at this school, I received a quality education, but more than that, an education grounded in the Word of God. Between you and me, I only wish I had studied harder in high school. I only wish I had taken the time to tell my professors, thank you, more often. On graduation day, 1978, I walked across that very same stage, fearing that I would trip over my new pastor robe. Halfway across the stage, I was greeted with a warm handshake and a theological diploma from the dean of the seminary, at that time, Professor C.M. Gullerud, the grandfather of our own Professor Gullerud. And then, this always amazes me, I walked out those same two fieldhouse doors, walked out into the bright May sunshine, walked out into my life and future, walked out into things that I expected and things that I did not. And now, dear students, it's almost that time for all of you to leave campus, to pack up your belongings and learnings and say goodbye. And how you walk through those same two fieldhouse doors on May 23rd, whatever your destination or calling, how you walk out those two doors into the, I hope, bright May sunshine, into your plans and future, into things that you expect and things you do not, is going to depend on whether you see those two doors as exits or therefores. Therefore is an important word, a word of transition, of summary, of reference, a word that often compels us forward by allowing us to look back at some accomplished fact. And given that definition, oh, there are so many important, powerful therefores in the Bible. And each of those therefores is grounded in divine fact. Let me give you a sample. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. That is a fact. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed or the mountains cast into the heart of the sea. Or, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, Romans 5:1. Or, therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, Romans 8:1. Or, Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, 2 Corinthians 5:17, or therefore, since we have such a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. There's so many more therefores in Scripture. But surely none of them is more comforting or more empowering than that therefore I shared with you earlier from 1 Corinthians 15:58. That therefore is also grounded in accomplished fact, the resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ. Before ever writing the word therefore in 1 Corinthians 15:58, the Apostle Paul wrote these words in verses 55 through 57. He said, "Where, O death, is your sting? Where, O grave, is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." And then what's the next word? Therefore, based on that victory. The therefore that becomes the means in Christ to face difficult odds, to find healing when we hurt, to get out of bed in the morning when we don't feel like getting up. On at least three occasions, Jesus forewarned his disciples of his impending suffering and death. But each time, he also gave them the certain promise of his resurrection. Here's an example. Matthew 17, "The Son of Man," he said, "is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him, and on the third day he will be raised to life." But tell me, what were those disciples doing on that third day? Were they anticipating a living Lord, or were they mourning a dead Savior? Women hurried to the tomb, wondering who would roll the stone away. Mary Magdalene was so distraught that she confused the risen Christ with the cemetery caretaker. Peter and John interpreted an empty tomb with body theft instead of bodily resurrection. Thomas insisted on seeing the forensic evidence. But then they all encountered the risen Jesus. And everything in their lives changed. Their lives, their deaths, their ministries, their relationships, their plans, and to such an extent that the very same disciples who once cowered behind the locked doors of an upper room on the day of Pentecost boldly proclaimed the living Jesus in the same city in which he was crucified. Now let me ask you this. On the last occasion I have this year to do chapel, let me ask you this. What about all of you? What about our work in the Lord, whatever that work may be? Pastors or teachers, doctors, lawyers, plumbers, electricians, senators, or secretaries? I can't speak for you. I can only share what I've discovered about myself. That every time I think doing some work in the name of the Lord is useless or futile or, in Paul's words, in vain, what I've actually been doing is to view Jesus as if he were dead and buried instead of living and reigning. And he is living and reigning. And that divine fact, my friends, is what will transform those two doors when you walk through them. Transform them from exits into therefores. And so, my dear colleagues and students, those returning next year, those who are not, our beloved high school and college graduates, those entering the teaching ministry, those retiring, whether from teaching or dorm supervision, those who are also entering the holy estate of matrimony, whatever your personal challenges that lie ahead, remember that on May 23rd, when you walk through those two doors into the bright sunshine, into your plans and future, into the things that you expect and the things you do not, do that with boldness and joy and confidence, saying with the apostle, thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So let me end where I began. My dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know your labor in the Lord is never in vain. Amen. Hymn 54, and we will sing verses 1 and 3.